institutions with them, and proving to them that she can't make it without Maharaj Shastri, the world of the Shiva Mahakrishna, the world of Maharaj, I'm a good that I have one to keep over down here. Jiva Mahakrishna, Jiva Dada down here. I believe Maha down here.
The material disease is to declare independence from the supreme controller. Vastly, our material existence begins when we forget the supreme controller and wish to lord it over material nature. Everyone in the material world is trying his best to become the supreme controller, individually, nationally, socially, and in many other ways. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to stop fighting by his grandfather, who was concerned that Dhruva was adhering to a personal ambition to fight, to annihilate the whole race of Yakshas. In this verse, therefore, Swami Dhruva Mani seeks to eradicate the last tinge of false ambition in Dhruva by explaining the position of the supreme controller. The words Mrityum Amritam, death and immortality, are significant. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I am ultimate death, who takes away everything from the demons. The demons' business is to continually struggle for existence as lords of the material nature. The demons repeatedly meet death after death and create a network of involvement in the material world. The Lord is death for the demons, but for the devotees is amrita, or eternal life. Devotees who render continuous service to the Lord have already attained immortality. Whatever they are doing in this life, they will continue to do in the next. They will simply change their material bodies for spiritual bodies. Unlike the demons, they no longer have to change material bodies. The Lord therefore simultaneously death and immortality. His death for the demons and immortality for the devotees. He is the ultimate goal of everyone because he is the cause of all causes. Even Maharaj was advised to surrender unto him in all respects without keeping any personal ambition. When they put forward the argument, why are the demigods worshipped? The answer is given here, that the demigods are worshipped by less intelligent men. The demigods themselves accept sacrifices for the ultimate satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Chandra Shriya Dvaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakti Vindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Ram Dev Shrom, Om Varam Tantaka Atavike Shukadula Padavi Rojana Mir Hadipinatha Swarsi Prasimha, the most of it. So this verse, Swami Dhammamani, is encouraging Dhruva Maharaj to surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada mentions that elsewhere, that there must be the personal, desire. Although the Lord is offering his shelter to every living entity, we must take up the personal initiative. Sarva dharma parichaja, vami kam saranangaja, aham tam sarva papyo, moksha. The Lord is making it very easy for us to become truly from the stringent laws of material nature. He is saying simply surrender. As soon as we surrender, then we will get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. But unless we surrender, we cannot expect the mercy of God. Prabhupada gave the example, just like during warfare, if there's a battle going on, and one of the sides begins to be beaten by the other, then they want mercy. But first, what is the condition before you get the mercy? You surrender. The side that is winning is not going to give their mercy. You give amnesty or shelter unless the other side puts down their arms and surrenders. So before mercy comes surrender. So we have been beaten about by this material nature since time immemorial. And finally, when we come to our senses, let me beg for the mercy of God. Please be merciful upon me. I am suffering so much in this material existence. All right, then you surrender. Sarvadharma parichaja mami kam saranambhaja aham tam sarvapapadiyo. And then what will Krishna do? He will protect us from the reactions of our sinful activities since that time in war. We have committed so many sinful activities in this material world. But the Lord is so merciful that he will absorb all that simply if you surrender unto him. So what does it mean to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It means to take up his instructions. Prabhupada gave this as the definition of religion. Religion means the laws of God. Religion means the laws of God. So if we are going to get the mercy of God by surrendering to him, we must instructions, as they are given in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. And then, that surrendering process, by that surrendering process, we get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. And that is the benefit. And just as one who follows all the rules and regulations and the laws of his country is afforded so much protection by the government, actually a good government, it provides both material and spiritual needs to its citizens. That is a good government. Of course, it's difficult to conceive of a good government in Kali Yuga, but we have information from Vedic scriptures about kings like Maharaj Yudhishthira, Maharaj Parikshit, and eventually Dhruva Maharaj, who, by themselves, being Raj Rishis, saintly persons sitting on the throne, giving all protection to their citizens, giving them religion, Sanatana Dharma, their citizens were completely satisfied. As the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning I sent forth generations of men and demigods and blessed them, that by the performance of this sacrifice, all desirable things will be bestowed upon them. So by the performance of yajna, or sacrifice, we please the demigods, who are devotees of the Supreme Lord, and they provide all necessities for human society. What are those necessities there for? So that we can execute the real mission of life, which is Krishna consciousness. The demigods are here to look to cooperate with us. Just like if Wellington runs into a little trouble, Christchurch will help out. Because we're all devotees. If Auckland has some difficulty, Auckland ISKCON has some difficulty, then surely the devotees here will give some type of resistance, because that is the nature of devotees. So Prabhupada said there's a very intimate link between human society, demigods, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is ultimately aware of the desires of everyone. Nityunityanam, chaitanas chaitanam, ekabahanam, yogadidatikama. Out of all the eternals, there is one Supreme Eternal who has fulfilled the desires of everyone, including Rama, Shiva, etc., all the great demigods. So when the demigods see that we're following the instructions of their Lord and Master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are very pleased to do their service to supply the necessities for human society. So here's the key to success and prosperity, as it's mentioned here, that Krishna is the ultimate goal of the progress of the world. Real progress means Krishna consciousness. Progress doesn't mean science and technology. One doesn't have to solve the problems of life, Prabhupada said, like animals under very nasty conditions. One can get the basic requirements of life simply by performing sacrifice. And with the balance of one's time, one can engage in the real purpose of life, which is Krishna consciousness. That is progress. The so-called progress that we see in our modern society is another type of progress. It's called deterioration, decomposition, of all which is essential to human existence. All good qualities are lost with the progress of atheistic science and technology. Just like when the body dies, part of the progress of material nature is that body decomposes back into the ground. That's also a progress. You can't say it's not progress. For that particular situation, that is progress. The soul leaves the body begins to rot. And all the elements, by nature's arrangement, they go back into the ground. Actually, dead bodies are good fertilizer. Isn't it? Dead bodies offer good fertilizer. So, that is nature's arrangement. So this body, which is no longer useful, it dies, and by nature's arrangement, it decomposes. So similarly, in human society, when there's no spiritual values, and the goal of life is not Krishna, what they call to be progress, as far as we are concerned, is simply decomposition. It is simply the deterioration of all that is essential for advancing back home, back to Godhead. People become cats and dogs. So yes, it is part of progress. We are not interested in that type of progress. Real progress. Vaipum shantara dharmo yato bhaktiro loksajiya haitikiya patiyatana yayadmashu prasidati. Supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which they can attain the transcendent loving service of the Lord. Such devotional service must be a haitikiya patiyatana, unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. So that is real progress. Spiritual progress. And we can make that progress very easily by following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That progress can be made very simply. What is the instruction? Harinam, 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 Evakevalam, Kalura Nishdeva 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 Bhattiram. That instruction, that sacrifice of the sage, is chanting Hare Krishna. After chanting Hare Krishna, can solve all the problems, individually and collectively. He can solve our personal problems, and he can also solve the problems of our community or our nation. There are several references to that. Prabhupada goes so far as to say that if there is some need, some great want, for example, he mentions, if there's a desert region, a very arid region, people are in need of water, then in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the purport, Prabhupada said, simply we have to go to that desert region. Put our hands up in the air and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the rains will come. So, the scientists or the materialism in question, what are you saying? You go to the desert and we chant Hare Krishna, the rain's going to come? You expect me to believe that? But that's because we have a little faith, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and little knowledge who is the Supreme Controller. The Lord can do anything He wishes. And if human society follows all His rules and regulations as they're given in Vedic culture, He'll be very pleased to give all facilities to human society. He'll be very pleased. Another example Prabhupada gave of the performance of yajna or sacrifice. He mentioned one time that in the 1930s there was a very bad cholera. There was a bad cholera was spreading throughout Calcutta. So people tried in so many ways to stop this cholera, and it was taking thousands of people every day. Every day thousands of people were dying from this cholera. So, people just started leaving Calcutta. It became practically empty. So, then Prabhupada mentioned some group of sadhus, some Vaishnavas, they took out the Madanga and cartels. They started going down the streets chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And very soon the cholera went away. So, Prabhupada gave this as evidence to the chanting of the holy names that it can solve all problems. Of course, some materialists may say, well, that's not actually why the cholera went. But as far as we are concerned, that is why the cholera went away. It was directly in relationship to the chanting of the holy names. So, unless people follow the laws of God, they cannot expect a happy and prosperous life. But as soon as the laws of God are followed, naturally, peace and prosperity follow, because that is the natural way of things. Just like here in Christchurch. Because you have a very Krishna-conscious temple present that follows all the rules and regulations and does things that Srila Prabhupada would like them to be done. You have a very nice temple. Immediately upon coming here, one can understand how nice and Krishna-conscious it is here. Not only does one have to come here, one simply hears about this temple all over the world. I don't want to flatter you. So that person who flatters me, he is my enemy. But it is a fact. We can be proud, just like the cattle boys are very proud. Oh, we are the devotees of Krishna. Krishna is our best friend. So pride is there. Pure state in Krishna consciousness. So we can see how simple it is. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple-minded and difficult for the crooked-minded. So Prabhupada is always emphasizing. Just do everything as I have told you. Don't change anything. Don't add, don't subtract. That is the problem with you Western boys and girls. Always wanting to change. Changing, changing, changing. This idea, new idea, like that. But that is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means as it is. It's like we have our Bhagavad Gita. As it is. Perfect and complete, we simply present it. So if we follow Prabhupada's instructions, 10%, without any deviation, then we'll find a nice situation like this. Oh, I'm sure there's a few problems here. But only the temple president knows about that. But where we follow the laws of God, as they're given by His representative, Srila Prabhupada, and His spiritual master, then we'll find that we'll be happy. And if there's any amount of deviation, then that's where the distress comes from. What's more distressed in Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Only when there is a little deviation is there some difficulty, or even some issue of conception in the devotional service. Otherwise, it is perfectly complete. So here, Swami Ramana, as Prabhupada mentions, is seeking to eradicate this last tinge of false ambition in Dhruva by explaining the position of the Supreme Controller. This means if we are to become completely Krishna conscious, we must remove the last tinge of material conception or material desire from our hearts. That is our goal. Anudivasi tasunyam jnana karma nabitam arupalena Krishna shivana bhakti rutama. That is the definition of pure devotional service as it is given by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī. And if we actually want to become Krishna conscious, we actually want to go down to the spiritual world, we must remove every tinge of material desire from the heart. Otherwise, we should not expect to go back. Or to just like to enter the fire, well, you must be like fire. So to enter the spiritual world, you must be completely pure and uncontaminated. And if there's even a little material desire left, that means we have to come back. Just like when the farmer plants his seeds in the spring, then sometimes amongst those seeds are other seeds which may not be useful. You buy a pack of seeds, and now maybe by chance some other type of seeds. So we have to carefully pick them out. Just like when we're preparing our dal, right? Those of you who are cooks, when you make the dal, you've got the herb dal. I'm not a cook. You've got the herb dal, and sometimes you have stones in there, isn't it? Those stones look just like the herb dal. How many times have we, you know, been biting down and taking a bite of kitriol? There's a stone, so the cooks left a stone in there. Even in rice, you have to also clean the rice. So what you do, what I've seen, is that you take the pan and shake like that, and then the heavier stones, I think they turn to the bottom, isn't it? And the lighter, the stones come to the bottom, and the dal and the rice stays at the top. Some technique, the different types of techniques. But you have to get out every little stone. Because those who are taking the rasada, but that stone is left, it's a very miserable experience. You're enjoying your meal, and then afterwards you're very good bite you take, right? You're very cautious. You can't enjoy your meal. Similarly, we can't enjoy Krishna consciousness fully. Of course, we're enjoying so much now, even in the beginning stages. Imagine what the later stages of devotional service would be like. But in the beginning stages, even how nice is Krishna consciousness? But with each stone that's removed, Krishna consciousness becomes nicer and nicer. We used to do a play in America. This is the early years, 1969, 1970. I haven't seen the play since then. It was called, what was it called? Anyway, we can give it a name later. Then what happened was that there was this big river, stream, and one side of the devotees were having a blissful kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, dancing and chanting. And the other side, people were working like asses, carrying these big, huge boulders back and forth the other side of the river, from one thing, back and forth. It was very descriptive play. So you would have the river like this, and then we had the devotees and the cars are carrying the work, and so on. And sometimes the kirtan would stop, and the devotees would say, "Hey, you over there on the other side, put down those boulders, come and chant and dance with us. Be blissful." So the people carrying the boulders would say, "Well, you guys want to get a job and do some work? You're not going to be able to put up there, we're going to..." He's like the ass. You see in India, ass, he carries big piles of bricks and different things like this, so he's working very hard. So again, finally the devotees, they would convince a few of them, "Hey, cross over the river and show them resistance. Just drop your stones and come across. That's all that's required. You just drop those stones and come across the river, and you can show them dance like us." So the first person carrying the stones, you know, he says, they look pretty happy, so I want to go over there. So he starts to walk across the river. And the lady says, "Oh, no, you have to give up the stones. Drop the stones, then you can come, otherwise you can't cross." "No, I want to keep the stones." If he's going across like this, and then he gets halfway across. Stones take more than. So the way that we give me a kirtan again, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare something going on with them.
Another verse against the traffic.
Oh yes, I want to come. So they're going to say, well, that, just see, you have to give up the stones. I'll get up a couple, puts them down, starts walking across. Yeah, he gets 3/4 of the way because he's carrying a few stones. So the audience is just starting to get the picture. So then there's another person says, so, okay, I want to come and be like the devotees, chanting, dancing, blissful. So he says, I'm coming, but I'm just going to keep one stone. I can't get this stone. I have to keep this one stone. So then he starts going across. He just about makes it across the river. He's about 2 feet from the devotees. He's like, come on, come on, drop that noya. He goes under the last foot, he drowns. He couldn't get across. So there's one very intelligent person at the other side watching this whole thing go on. And he makes a calculation. Actually, if I want to cross this river of material existence, and I want to chant and dance and be blissful like those devotees of the Lord, I have to give up all the stones. But what do I have to lose? If I give up these stones and cross the river without any danger, then what do I have to lose? Because on the other side, I can see everyone is chanting and dancing. Here, everyone is slaving very hard. They're very miserable. So he makes it. He says, all right. He puts down all the stones. He swims across the river. And he joins the Kirtan party.
Hello, hello.
So this is a flow we used to do. Just to show that actually you want to cross over the ocean of true existence and take up the blissful life of Krishna consciousness. We have to give up all these stones. But where are these stones? I'm not going to be deep. Anathanibhiti refers to those things which are not necessary. Narada, what is the sense of the word Narada mean? Narada means those things which are required. And then we put the prefix ara. Sometimes when you generally when you put the prefix ah, that means not like that. So Narada means things that are required. There are so many things required for going back to Godhead. People are trying to describe this in the Upadeshamrita. Those things, the do's and the don'ts. Whatever we do, there's don'ts. So the Naradas are the things that are required. A Dharashana, Tathasadhi Sangha, Tathajana Kriya, a little thing. Sadhi Sangha, association with the devotees. And then Bhajana Kriya, taking up the practices of devotional service as if given by the spiritual master, the directions, instructions of the spiritual master. And then it will happen. There will be unarthas, not the arthas. You won't, don't worry, by practicing Krishna consciousness, you won't lose what is required. But you will lose the unarthas, those things which are not required. And what are those? The material desires. Now we are struggling with the material desires, but we stick to the process. In due course of time, those anathas, they will go away. Krishna says, do not fear. What is the result of having those anathas? So much suffering, so much difficulty. But still we can't let go. If we stick to the process, automatically will happen in due course of time. Just like you have a green coconut. So in a green coconut, the meat of the coconut is attached to the shell by nature's arrangement. It's attached to the shell by nature's arrangement. So, in due course of time, what happens is that coconut matures. How do you tell a coconut which is ready? Of course, you can enjoy a coconut at any stage, Krishna's arrangement, but if you want that meat of the coconut, the white part, if you want to use that for cooking, not just the water, which is like when we go to India, we drink the dal. Obviously, the dal is the best thing for health to go to India. If any of you are going to India, you drink dal, which is still healthy, Krishna's arrangement. But if you want the meat of the coconut, you have to wait. That white part, you know, the grated, the part we use in our cooking. So if you want that, you have to wait. So how do you know when it's ready? Cook? Thank you very much. Here's the one that you have to there you go. The cook doesn't notice there's some problem. The prasad was so nice yesterday, I imagine the cook must know. Do you have any problems here? So the TP, he takes all the problems as his head, so it looks like he has problems. But he's taking your problems, that is his mercy. So then you shake the coconut, you grab a water up, then you know, oh, then it's ready. So Prabhupada gives, he also gave the example of the mango. A mango is a mango. The green stage, We're in the ripe stage. It's always a mango. It's going to be a ripe mango. If you're just patient, in due course of time, that green mango will become a ripe mango. That green coconut will become a mature red coconut for the meat. So in the same way, if we're patient, if we strictly follow all the rules and regulations of devotional service, then in due course of time, we'll become detached from our nonsense material desires. One of the offenses against the holy name, what is one of the offenses against the holy name in this regard? To maintain true attachment, even after understanding some of the instructions on this night. As I said at the beginning, it actually is not automatic. There is the personal endeavor. But if we make the sincere effort, Krishna will help. Prabhupada's father told him, Krishna has thousands of hands. If he wants to take something from me, what do two little hands can hold on to? His little abai. Lord Ramande is saying, Krishna has thousands of hands. If he wants to take something from me, what do two little hands can hold? And if he wants to give you something, how much your two little hands can hold on also? That is Krishna consciousness. So the Lord is wanting more than we do that we come back home, back to God. He's always putting us in situations where we have to surrender. If we have to surrender. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, now I have told you everything, so now you can do what you want. But if you act according to false evil, then you are lost. There's so much mercy there. It's very hard not to become Krishna conscious. You have to become determined to go back into Maya. But that is the unfortunate nature of the living entity. That despite the fact that he has so much opportunity for going back to God, still something is there that he wants to stay in the material world. Like the monkey who put his hand into the jar to get the banana. So he got the banana, but when he clenched his fist, he couldn't get his hand back out. So in the process of trying to take his hand back out, he was experiencing much pain. Trying to get his hand out of his bottle. But even, he didn't let go of the banana. All he let go of that banana and take his hand would slip out, but he wanted his cake and eat it too. So Krishna consciousness means you can't have your cake and eat it too. Sense gratification and devotional service do not go together. Why does it use the word, they go ill together. They don't go together. If you want devotional service, full devotional service, Manchaya Vivichana, Bhakti Yoga Nisimate, Sandhavan Samatikya, and Brahma Vriya Kalpate. fall down under any circumstance. It once transcends the modes of nature and comes to the level of Brahman. You want to come to that level of Brahman, which we define as devotional service, we have to give up all tinges of sense gratification.
So how to do that?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
16 rounds a day, going into principles, free from offenses, then we can attain full benefit of devotional service. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati comfortably told his disciples, I do not see any reason why all my disciples cannot go back home back to God in this very life. And where did his men come from? Most of his men were like us.
They came from various materialistic backgrounds. Of course, we should not consider Vaishnavas in that way, but if we look at it historically, we can see that many of them were university students. They were physicians, doctors, lawyers, so forth.
Yes, I do not see any reason why all of our disciples cannot go back to God in this very life. If we stick to the process, very carefully. So that is our desire, to free ourselves from all material desires and take up the spiritual service of the Lord.
Told the story last week, but because it's a new audience, just a few of you are here telling it.
I had one friend when we were young. He was in a car crash, and he got a little glass in his eye. So they wanted to operate, but they determined that if they operated, it would be too risky. He might lose his eye. But the eye is one of those parts of the body that heals, and practically self-healing. It has the ability to rejuvenate itself very much more than other parts of the body. So they felt that they left that glass in there. It impaired his vision a little bit, but not so much. So they felt better that than no eye at all. So they didn't offer it. A little piece of glass, they left it in there. And so then that was that. And so many years later, we were about 16 or 17, we were in high school, in class one day. And all of a sudden, he drops dead. One of our best friends, we say, yeah, we're doing some lesson, all of a sudden, look, look. Joe's dead. Now, first of all, he was just joking because he was one of the class clowns. So for a few moments, everyone just let him lie there. They had to realize maybe something was wrong. They went inside, he was, there was a doornail. Couldn't do that. So in those cases, an autopsy is performed. So they performed some autopsy, and they found out, believe it or not, that they found a piece of glass in the heart. And that what happened is that glass, you know, by just the workings of the body tends to reject foreign objects. It's not designed, due to those years, traveled through his system. It was never expelled. And it went in the blood, and then it lodged in the heart. And the heart, in order to protect itself, it built a kind of like covering around it. And the covering got bigger and bigger and bigger, trying to keep it blocked the artery. And blood couldn't get through, and he sent a hemorrhage, a stroke, and he died. So that little piece of glass, you know, little tiny, who would ever imagine a little piece of glass? So insignificant. Just there in the eye, but accidentally, glass was the cause of his final demise. So we should think like that. You know, we have to get rid of all the desires. Because any one of those desires may be our demise in the Krishna consciousness. We can't afford to maintain any material attachments. Not that, well, I'm advanced now, I can afford to enjoy a little bit. I've been a devotee for so many years now, so what's a little bit of sense gratification? Well, that little desire could be the cause of our... So we try our best to free ourselves of all aitapiya pratyaya, to come to that point of full devotional service, then we're safe. Then we're actually safe. So that is Dhruva Maharaj, that's Swayam Dhruva Maharaj, seeking to eradicate the last hinge of ambition, Dhruva Maharaj. He wants to take up whatever little thing is there. He wants to completely uproot that from the heart. So that should be our move. But of course, the Vaishnavas are very merciful. The life of Vaishnava is very merciful. Even if there is something left, still, Prabhupada is very merciful. One time I was giving a lecture along this line. I remember that
Sunyam, Jnana Karmana, Anukrama Krishna, Srimad Bhaktivedanta,
Sarvabhum Sharanam Paramo, Tattva, I took the opportunity, emphasizing again, all the way, pure devotional service. This is the beginning. If I was speaking with such clarity, and such emphasis, the devotees began to get discouraged. Come to that stage, I'll be communicating this material over millions of lifetimes. I have to come to that stage. So Prabhupada, he could understand the mood of the audience. So he said, so he must become 100% Krishna conscious to go back to Godhead. And he opened his eyes, looked around and said, at least 98%. There's a little bit of a sigh of relief, you know, but everybody knows his heart. So still, you know, then part of it going on, and then, you know, he goes into the lecture and said, all right, 80%. Jai Prabhupada! The father gets speaking when he concluded his lecture, and he got off the Vyasa Sanya. Still, there was, you know, the lecture was very strong, you know, very demanding. And of course, that is the spiritual master's duty, is to command full surrender. And then he cannot demand them anything less. Krishna says, you demand everything and surrender to me, and I will give you full protection if you do not fear. So what is the guru? Then he must repeat Krishna's instructions. So he is saying, sorry, everything you must give everything. One time a householder said to Prabhupada, how much can the householders keep for themselves? He was expecting some percent out of which we can move on for a very time. Prabhupada said, nothing. It's all Christians. That doesn't mean, of course, householders don't live like sannyasis because they have children and they, you know, they need facilities.
But we shouldn't think it belongs to us.
My wife, my home, my family, my bank balance, everything at your feet. I can sign a couple of things. Where was I?
In the lecture of John Prabhupada.
Huh? Oh, yes, thank you.
So that's a good ending.
So the devotees are like, 10%, how do we do it? So then, probably still feel that mood a little bit there. Oh, yeah, I wanted to say, spiritual master, he also demands 100%. Because that's his qualification. He's repeating the instruction. If he makes some compromise, he cannot be Krishna's representative. We don't compromise. We present it as it is. No compromise. But, Prabhupada said that he will be the Lord, and he is sometimes even more merciful than the Lord himself, understanding the intentions of the Lord. Krishna said, don't disturb the minds of the innocent. So that way, we shouldn't even go on Sangatran. Because Sangatran means, excuse me, sir, what? Maybe that's not much here, I don't know. But for other places, excuse me, I'm walking down the street. Yes, but I have something. You are such an intelligent person. You are so important now. Yes, thank you very much. This book is just for you. Oh, is it? I see. Thank you. So the devotee, understanding the desire of the Lord, he's even more merciful than the Lord. Mahaprabhu didn't go to the West. He could have, of course. He was an Indian. But his devotee, to Prabhupada, his pure surrender devotee, understanding the mission, he took the trouble to go to the West. And there's an injunction in India. The Sadhu should not cross over the ocean. That's in the Vedic scriptures. The Sadhu should not cross over the ocean because no other side of the ocean is the Malaysians, the Yemenis. And what happens to a Sadhu when he associates with materialistic people? Asat Sangha, Diyaka, Vaishnava. What happens to such a person? Asat Sangha. He falls down from his position by bad association. So there's an injunction. Not that the devotees understanding the desire of the Lord, they take the risk to go and preach. The Lord gives full protection. That is the glory of devotional service. So the devotee, even when love says, he understands the nature of he's more merciful than the Lord himself. So, Krishna's instructions are very. The devotee is delivering Krishna, so he can sometimes make some arrangements. So, Prabhupada was getting out of the Vyasasan after saying 98%, and I think he went down to what did I say, 80%. So he's going along, and he's running halfway through the crowd of devotees, and it's just, you could hear a pin drop. It was, everyone knew something else was coming. The Prabhupada's adjusting his chart, and then he's walking, so he can. Prabhupada's always very noble, very regal, he took his time. He threw his chart over his shoulder and turned back to the audience. He said, all right,
78%.
We shouldn't think like that. Oh, well, I'll just make so much advance at them. No. But if the spiritual master, if the Lord sees, if we're trying to work as hard as we can, then we get the mercy. And it's by the mercy of the Lord and His devotees that we make it back to Godhead. So what is Prabhupada expecting of us? That we simply give this life for Krishna. So many other millions of lifetimes we have served man. Not just one lifetime, just give everything to Krishna. We've given everything to Maya. Everything we've served her as you know, menial servants is the best of our ability. But she's Rudra. Another name for Maya is Rudra. Rudra, Lord Shiva, Rudra's wife, Durga. Durga Dham. His wife is called Rudra. What does it mean, Rudra? She makes you cry forever. We say Mother Nature, oh, Mother Nature. Yeah. Then she hits us in the face with a cell phone, a hurricane, you know, cancer. What kind of mother is this? You want this kind of mother? We're never independent. We're always serving. And that's the point of this whole verse. He's trying to wake up Guru Maharaj, the last hint of false ambition, by explaining the position of the supreme controller. Everybody entity is controlled. You know, we're controlled by the spiritual energy of the Lord and devotional service. We're controlled by the materials. But in all cases, everyone has to bow down to Krishna. No question of not bowing down. If you bow down to meet Shishitai Guru Chandra in full submission, my dear brother said this morning, I was seeing it, how dumb it was, as if you fall down like a stick. So I'm still a little sleepy from this last 2 weeks in Sydney. Pretty intense program. Come in and tell me we're over. Okay, you know how the Baba Shah is. Stick. That's what Dandavas means. Stick. Dandavas actually means stick. It's like here's Danda. So Dandavas. When the Danda goes down, that's called Dandavas. So when the devotee goes, when we see the deity of the Lord, we must immediately bow down. Immediately we see the Lord or His representative. We must understand our position as servants. So therefore, boom, dandavas, hit the ground. It's called dandavas. So we are voluntarily bowing down before Krishna. Everyone has to bow down. Krishna is the supreme controller. For the devotee, He appears as Nityananda Chandra. Lakshmi Krishna, Radha Krishna. We don't mind serving Krishna. We love to serve Krishna. All day long we serve Krishna. We enjoy it. The day of birth we serve Krishna, but still they have to bow down to the Lord. The Lord appears before them as death, and they also have to do Dandavas. Face down in the grave. Isn't it? Everyone has to lie flat before the Lord. So we bow down in humble submission. And time forces them to the eye, you rascal, get down. And as old age comes, his back starts getting old.
No, I won't surrender.
That's the word of a cripple like that.
No, I won't surrender. No.
The last minute they're there, we have the opportunity. Oh, I have so many plans. And then death comes, and then right in the box. They're also I think when the creature is bringing their face up, but we're face down. Just the little one last, you know, objection. I won't bow down, and then boom, face up. The two men were fighting, one had the scissors and one had the knife. So I was saying, scissors, that's not the best way. The best way is the knife. What do you mean the knife? It's the scissors will do a better job. No, the knife will do a better job. Back and forth, they're arguing like this. What's the best way to do the job? Scissors or the knife? So now with the knife, he just got frustrated. He picked the other guy and threw him in the river. The person couldn't swim, so he was going to drown. You know, it was all over. He was drowning. But just to get back at that person, one last thing, you know. One last thing, as he was going under, he was so the economy is an option at the very end. Death is a very trying experience. So living on a deathbed, you know, it's so difficult. Now just surrender to God. But they don't. There's something to look actually. I saw it recently, didn't purchase it, but I saw it sticker with a full of famous quotations of people that
service or he goes back to God. It's just like changing into one of the jabs at night. What's the big deal? He reads the Zitta who says that Vaishnavas die. But thou are living still in sound. Vaishnava dies to live, and we're living trying to spread the holy name. What is death for a devotee? It's nothing. It's like blinking your eyes. Oh, God's still here. So you blink in your eye, you blink, there's a little darkness, and then you open your eye. It's in a second. So what is death for a devotee? There's no death for a devotee. That's why Prabhupada said, deathlessness begins at the moment of initiation. The initiation, we need full surrender. So the minute we surrender to Krishna, the minute we agree to take up Krishna's instructions, at that point we become deathless. Because we're situated, that means what? We take up Krishna's instructions. Taking up Krishna's instructions means that we take up the life of devotional service. That's an eternal life. What you are doing now, you will do forever. We are being trained. But through the training stage and the end result, the same thing. Do Prabhupada do anything different than we are doing? Prabhupada said, do just like me. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, I want to be just like you. All the devotee was a darshan. All the devotees going, oh, Prabhu. I want to be like your spiritual master. I can't become like Prabhupada. It's pretty heavy. On sense, the devotee started feeling really bad. But that's not what he meant. And Prabhupada knew it. So Prabhupada closed his eyes, he said, thank you very much. Thank you very much. We should want to be just like Śrīla Prabhupada. We should want to be Prabhupada as the perfect devotee. The spiritual master is the perfect devotee. That's why he's spiritual master. Because he's servant of God. He's teaching us how. He is servant of God, so by loving, we can also become servant of God. So we want to be just like that. That is Krishna consciousness. And if we get a little deviation, means something else. We won't be able to go back home, back to God. So that is our mode. Full surrender. So, last hinge of false ambition is river. That's why everyone is trying to get that last little tinge of material attachment out so that we can go back to Godhead by extending the position of supreme control. So we're controlled. Even the greatest materialistic person, he's also controlled. It's like the day we went to the farm.
You, Gokul.
And they had a bull there. And the bull had a ring in his nose. So we walked by the bull, we didn't see the ring in the nose, so the bull made a little noise. So immediately I got afraid of the bull's coming, but then, big, huge, powerful bull could just knock you down and instantly, you know, finish you up. But that big, powerful, heavy bull, easy to control him. He just has got a little ring in his nose there. So you can have something this big. You've got a huge bull, a little ring in his nose. He had a very sensitive hearing. So, the same way, it doesn't matter who in this material world, they're controlled. The last moment, they're controlled by birth, disease, old age, and death. That means that no one can say they're independent. So either we bow down to Krishna, enforce the mission, my dear Lord, this day on, I promise you that I'm yours. So obviously that's a little prayer we can offer. We need to bow down and death, so we need to make the decision what we will do. So we have made the decision now, we are the one who surrendered to Krishna. So let us give up the other part. Let us give up our independence. Not Vantashi. Vantashi means that when he goes back and enjoys what he's already rejected. Prabhupada told Sasarupa Maharaj, when he took sannyas, he said, now I'm giving you sannyas, you're giving up this world. So I have two instructions for you. Never look back and think that you have left anything behind. Number one. And number two, never envy the position of the materialist. Oh, they have something I don't have. So we are also, like all of us, not just those who have taken sannyas, but we've all given up material life. So that instruction of Prabhupada is pertinent to all of us. Never look back and think, oh, I left that behind, I think I made a mistake. And never enter the position of the karmis, oh, they have something I don't have. The only thing they have that you don't have is problems. The only thing that they have that you don't have is a life full of anxiety. So we should never look back and think, well, we should never change their decision. We should always remember an unfortunate situation in Krishna consciousness. And understanding that, surrender fully,
Puna Charavita Charavana. Prahlad Maharaj says, children that choose, birth after birth, life, it is all the same thing. Sense gratification is sense gratification. Whatever form of life it is, whatever species, it always ends in the same thing, distress. So children that choose. So we've done that. We've given our life to Maya. Heart and soul, we've served her, birth after birth after birth. Now this one lifetime. Why not, you know, surrender fully to Krishna? We have not surrendered fully to Krishna, because if we had, we wouldn't be here today. Of course, we may have some liberated souls amongst us who, by the mercy, have come back to give us their association, their life in Germany. We can all understand. We've been in this material world since the time immemorial, surrendered to mind. Now, let us surrender the Supreme Controller in loving devotional service. And then surely, as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, in this great amount of time, we can go back home, back to Godhead.
Hare Krishna. So I'll read the translation.
My dear Lord, you will please surrender me the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate goal of the progress of the world. Everyone, including the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, is working under his control. Just as the bull, prompted by the world in its nose, is controlled by its owner.
Questions? Yes.
I know that Maharaj, if the Guru Maharaj had still some tinge of material desire, that the Lord appeared to him from the front.
How can the Lord appear to someone who still has a little tinge of material desire?
When the Lord can do anything, but I thought perhaps he
What is the question exactly?
Well, I thought that the Lord finally appeared to his pure devotee.
He has also appeared to you? How does it appear to you?
From the beginning of the morning, sir.
There's no difference between the Panchavingara form of the Lord and the Lord. We can think of it like that. And he's appeared before us as the Holy Name. He's appeared before us as his representatives. That also was explained. For example, the Lord says, I regret that in this lifetime you will not be able to see me again, that I have appeared just to increase your attachment. That's right. So, like that also, the Lord appeared to Narada, who, according to that particular part of the Bhagavatam, had not himself yet achieved perfection, but he did it. He appeared before his devotee just to increase his desire to achieve them. So the Lord relates to devotees in different ways. Just like in some situations, the Lord gives everything to encourage the devotee. And in other situations, the Lord takes everything away to encourage the devotee. Sometimes a neophyte devotee may request something material from the Lord, and in order to just give that devotee a little faith that he's there, Krishna is there, and to increase that devotee's dependency, the Lord may sometimes award that material desire. And in other cases, what is necessary for a devotee's advancement, the Lord may take everything away. Actually, the Bhagavatam, the Lord describes in my first mercy upon my devotee is that I take everything away. So the poor wretch, the word is used, the poor wretch may take full shelter in me. So in different cases we see the Lord deals with his devotees in different ways. So it may be that at a certain stage of one's devotional service, the Lord may actually appear to the devotee to increase his attachment. It's not that the Lord only appears to the devotees. He also appears to the demons. 5,000 years ago, the Lord appeared, and even the demons could see him. They were dealing daily with him. But they could not appreciate his mercy. That is a special mercy. After that's been described by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that the Lord appears in his transcendental form, his original transcendental form, and he's so merciful that during his pastimes on the earth, even the demons can see him. But after those pastimes are finished, he goes back to the spiritual world. It's not actually possible for the demons to see him anymore when he's become a devotee. But he's so merciful that during his pastimes on the earth, even the demons can see him. But what he winds up
up those pastimes. After that, if you want to see it, you have to take up the process of devotional service. So it appears from different instances, such as the life of Naranamuna, the life of Duma, Duma Maharaj, etc. And the Lord may appear to this devotee, even if the devotee is not at the last pure state of devotional service, to encourage. That is the meaning of causes mercy. There's no apparent reason. St. Paul was speaking one time about, you want to come to devotional service, you have to perform pious activities. Otherwise, what is your credit for coming? What is your qualification? If you want the mercy of the devotee, you perform lifetimes of pious activities. Like the cattle boys, they say in the Krishna book. Well, how is it that we'll attain the association of the Lord? It must have been after many lifetimes of pious activities that we're able to associate with Krishna. So Prabhupada was speaking like that, about pious activity. One devotee raised his hand and said, Prabhupada, I can't remember that I did anything pious in my life. Not one thing. So Prabhupada said, yes, I have created your pious activity. Meaning what? Prabhupada has created our good fortune. The devotees of the Lord are creating that good fortune. What qualification do these people have for becoming Krishna conscious? They're walking down the street thinking about money, women. They walk into a restaurant, they eat meat, they smoke cigarettes, they go. What is their qualification for getting the mercy? There's no qualification. But at this age, the Lord is very merciful. Moha Vadanai, Krishna Prema Vadayate, Krishna and Krishna Chaitanya, and Amdhe Guru is the same. It's unexplainable. How is it? Rupa Goswami, you are the most magnificent. Wonderful incarnation of the Lord, because you freely bestow love of Godhead upon anyone without making any calculations. Who is qualified? Who is unqualified? You give your mercy to everyone. See, Rupa Goswami was so amazing. So today we are celebrating. So I need to know his appearance. It was a couple of days ago, but today we'll be speaking more about Lord Nityananda. So, what is the nature of Lord Nityananda? When we used to go preaching with Haridas Thakur, Mahaprabhu's instruction, we'll do a play today. We're going to do the play again. We'll do the play today. We'll see the most merciful, compassionate nature of Lord Nityananda. And sometimes Haridas, with the guy, they would, Mahaprabhu would ask them to go preaching. So they would go, they would be so, just like a preacher reaches so many situations. How many situations, you know, out of a day you get home? Come to my door. Thank you. Oh, my God, grace, he sent you here. What's happened during the second time? I was really struggling going door to door. And, it was one of those days I couldn't do so many books. But you keep going, you keep going, and Krishna's got a little surprise for you up here. So, and I was in a really bad, we call it Ashelon in French. The private buildings, the old ones, you know, where all the low class people live, nobody has any money, they're filthy, dirty, and you know, dogs, and you know, everyone's cooking meat, you know. There's only one light bulb in the hall, you know, it's dark, you go to your stairs, and you have to stand the living is here. Anyway, good God, you know, who's going to take a book in this place, you know? So I'm going, you know, too, if you see the old people, you know. So the word is Sarada Sarabhushana.
Tatishara, Kurnika, Surudan, Sarvainam, Ajitas, Devasantas, Sarvas, Sarva Krishna. Tolerance, mercifulness, friendly towards all living entity, peaceful, he has no enemies, he abides by the laws of scripture, Sarvas, Sarva Krishna. He is decorated with all wonderful qualities. So devotees can also wear their battle scars, you know, just like they have their scars from the war. We also have our scars from, you know, so many years of sankirtan. I got punched here, I got bit here. So anyway, we're going door to door, and then this dark, dirty, old place, and smart of those kids running around, things falling. We knock on the door. Yes? Well, I'm a young monk. I'm just coming back from India. I've some very wonderful things I can show you, some books about spiritual life. The door opens, you know. And what does he have?
He's reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
What? He says, oh yes, oh, you're... So I received this book a few years ago, and I've just really been taking shelves of it recently, really been reading. I have a question on page 44. So, we don't often get that type of reaction, do we? Mm-hmm. Just open the door and go, oh, could you explain page 45? Dirty old building? What did he do? Then he got a book years ago, he was having some difficulty. So now he was reading in the description of the remains, but how often is that?
It's very difficult.
So what is their qualification? They have no qualification. Their qualification is the causeless mercy of the Lord and his devotees. They go out, talk about the mercy. We are all, the lowly heart, go out and preach the divine command. So by going out and preaching, we create people's good fortune. That is the bliss of sankirtan. We're directly engaged in the Yuga Dharma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago, performed sankirtan. The Supreme Lord himself did sankirtan. That's how much, how wonderful it is. And Krishna came, he channeled Hare Krishna, he preached, he defeated, he argued, he debated. He endured so many difficulties, going throughout India, preaching. So if it's good enough for the Lord, it can always be good enough for us. So he's going and preaching. So, I'd like to challenge him, my dear Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So where we are following the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under the protection of his devotees, then the Lord is also there. That's why sankirtan is so nice. When you go on sankirtan, and you actually make that transaction, you give that book, or if you're collecting or doing paraphernalia, you accept that donation to help the temple, whatever it may be, whatever type of sankirtan you are doing, then that's a little bit of, you get a little bit of touch of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's like if you touch a live wire, what happens? It's kind of shock in your body, right? So if you go on sankirtan, you're the positive and they're the negative, right? So what happens if you put the positive and negative together? You do work on cars. If you do work on cars, you be very careful that the red one goes on the red and the black goes on the black. If you cross them, watch out. Sparks will fly. So we're the negative. They're all nonsense, negative, etc. And we're the positive. We're the devotees. We're preaching. We're representing Lord Chaitanya. So when we go out there, that's why sankirtan is so nice. You give the book and then they take it. You ask for a donation. Take this paraphernalia, it's going to help our center. Okay, now then, you feel alive. So the Lord is also appearing towards us, in front of us, in so many different ways. One time we were sitting in Prabhupada, and I think it was in Rome. And the person was really arguing a lot. He was saying, well, you know, God, how can you prove there's God? I mean, you know, there's no proof that there's God, what we're saying. So then the person's challenged by, he said, challenge God! So Prabhupada lifted up his doji, you can see his lotus foot, he said, you wash my feet and I will show you God. So God is there, he's waiting, he's very near and very far away, he's right in front of your nose. If you want to see him, then you want to accept the process. That is the point. God is there. He's everywhere. He's in your heart. He's in the atom. He's between the atoms. He's big as the universe, he's tight, he's everywhere, but you fool, you can't see him. You want to see God, he's right before your nose. Just open your eyes. How do you open your eyes? Not these eyes, but the eyes of a Shastra. A sacred person, he sees through his ears, not through his eyes. You want to see, and you hear from the devotee, then you'll see God. You can see him very easily. One time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was giving a lecture. And all his disciples were there. And they're out there. The couch in the next room. And Gaudiya Mata temple is quite often. The lecture hall is separate from the kit from the temple room. Sometimes the custom. They have a little lecture hall next to it in our temples. It's very nice to have class in front of the deities. So couch went. So two disciples got up to go to the Arati. Can you imagine? Yeah. The Pakistan Saraswati didn't lecture.